time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Coming to you today from Oxford, Mississippi, where the Wildcats will play the Ole Miss Rebels tonight in the one of two final two regular season games for the Wildcats as SEC play moves into the tournament mode next week up in Nashville. Today we will talk about this matchup and about Kentucky basketball with David Kellum, who's the radio play-by-play voice for Ole Miss, with Larry Vaught from VaughtsViews.com, and with Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader. That's our guest lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters. Our show each day served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. And coming up today, we'll focus a lot on this matchup between Kentucky and Ole Miss. Nothing new on Reed Travis. I think a lot of people are keeping their fingers crossed that Saturday could be the day that he comes back. That would be great, obviously sooner better than later, but to get a little bit of action in before he goes into the SEC tournament where he could be asked to play three games in 3 days potentially would be ideal, I would think, if you could get him in some action on Saturday. But who knows? Maybe he shows up tonight a little bit. I don't have any reason to think that he will. I think the best guess is probably still Saturday at the best. Zion Williamson, I think there's some speculation, might play tonight. They were injured, similar injuries it seems, and they were injured one day apart, Reed first. So Duke's talking about Zion. They haven't ruled him out yet for their game tonight against Wake Forest. Let's get to the Wildcat News of the day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. John Calipari was on the SEC teleconference yesterday. One of his things he was talking about was the decrease in forced turnovers for his team. They're not pressuring the ball enough. Teams are having little difficulty in getting into their offense or running what they want to run. And so he'll be looking for that to change tonight against an Ole Miss team that has a really strong backcourt in Brian Tyree and Terrence Davis, combining for 34 points a game. Most productive backcourt, most productive duo in the league. Excuse me. I don't have the cough button here on site in Mississippi. The most productive combo in the league ahead of Harper and Brown at Auburn. Tony Barbie did the news conference yesterday for the local media. He talked about some of the same things Cal did. Also about how the Tennessee point guard Bone got downhill too often against Kentucky. It's something Cal touched on in our post-game interview in Knoxville, that Bone was getting, it's the coach's phrase for downhill. Football coaches talk about running downhill. It's being straight ahead on the attack rather than having to go side to side. And that's what good defensive pressure will make you do, have not to be able to turn the corner and get into the lane. And Bone was able to do that regularly. The Kentucky guards were not. And so they'll be looking for improvement there from Ashton Hagans. Got to get better shooting, obviously, from Hero and Keldon Johnson, but one would think that would happen. They were a combined 4 of 20 in Knoxville. That's out of character for both of those guys to shoot it so poorly. But it all stems from, I think, this increased emphasis on P.J. Washington and how to defend him with Reed Travis out of the lineup. Auburn really didn't do much of this because they're so perimeter-oriented. But you saw it from Arkansas, and you saw it even better from Tennessee, just the emphasis to keep P.J. out of operating in the paint. And that's harder to do when you also have to worry about Reed Travis. PJ was forced to go away from his comfort zone. And that's what, you know, good coaches are going to do unless you make them pay for it. And Kentucky wasn't able to do that by hitting outside shots. And they're not able to do it with getting the ball to Reed Travis like they would when he would be in the game. And it all comes down to Kentucky's points in the paint. Without Reed Travis, last three-plus games, 21 points per game over the last four games in the paint. That's down about 14 for Kentucky's season average on points in the paint. So on the offensive end, that It's part of the reason why you end up having a season low in points down at Tennessee. Football, Mark Stoops had his spring news conference yesterday. Said he likes what he's seeing in the has seen in the winter program. Habits are better off the success that Kentucky has had. He said that quarterback Terry Wilson has done extensive tape work with quarterbacks coach Darren Henshaw. I think it's certainly reasonable to expect some level of a move forward from Terry in year two. Showed a lot of potential. I think a lot of folks around the program believe he could make a big move in year two, that there is a lot of upside there for Terry Wilson when you talk about that speed. He's got a big arm, needs to get a little better on some of the touch and some of the deep balls, but you know, it was his first year playing after sitting out for really for a couple of years from playing at this level. Did have the JUCO season, but I'll be eager to see what he does this spring and certainly into next season. And kudos to Darius West. Ran a 4.440. Happy for him. I remember being at practice a few years ago when he went down with a knee injury in August in practice. And one of those knee injuries where you wonder if he can fully come back from it. And he did. And so you're happy for a kid like that to overcome that injury, have a day like he had at the combine. Probably made himself a lot of money in the eyes of the NFL yesterday. So all in all, I think a very encouraging performance by the Kentucky guys at the combine. Links to the stories that we talk about, you can find them on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Heading to a break. We're here at Oxford, Mississippi, and so is David Kellum, our next guest, the radio voice of the Rebels. We'll talk with him about this matchup tonight when we come back.
This is where the Big Blue Nation gathers. It's Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report, followed by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Welcome back into our show for this Tuesday. We're served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, and on the Kentucky branded hotline is David Kellum. He's the radio play-by-play voice for the Ole Miss Rebels. And I was watching the Tennessee game last week from the pavilion, David, and it was packed and sounded through TV like it was really loud, and I suspect it will be just the same tonight, right?
Well, I would expect it to for sure, Tom. It's a sellout, and I know one thing is the design of that building has made it extremely loud. In fact, we've talked about it amongst ourselves and think it may be the loudest facility in the league. It's a tremendous atmosphere, and fans have responded really, really well to Kermit Davis.
Did a really nice job with, it's called the Pavilion, the new arena here that replaced the old Tad Pad, the Tad Smith Coliseum. I think one of the things that was, people remember about that, it just always seemed like it was the lighting, it was kind of dark in there. This is all that natural light, it's really bright and a beautiful facility.
Yeah, Ross Bjork, you know, was at Missouri for a while, and they had the natural panes up in one end. And he felt like he liked that and wanted to expand that into a bigger area. And it just really works wonderfully, especially for the day games and all. But they did some really cool things. One of the things kind of unique, too, about it, Tom, is that at the Tad Pad, and you've been there several times, the furthest highest seat in the pavilion is 40 feet closer than the Tad Pad. If you look at the two facilities, it doesn't feel that way because the pavilion feels so much bigger. But that puts people even closer to the floor, and it makes a difference, surely does.
This is an Ole Miss team that has had a couple of brutal beats last week, losing in the final minute against Arkansas and then previously Tennessee. Tell me how you think they'll bounce back from those two emotional gutbusters.
Well, you're hoping they can put them behind them, but, you know, you get this part of the season, sometimes those things kind of pile on, become layers. You go back to the Florida game early in the year, and Gainesville had that game, and they hit a fall-away three late, sent it to overtime and get the victory. And the Tennessee game was just a play or two here and there. Great game, back and forth. And then at Arkansas late, again, had a chance. You know, you win a game or two of those, and you're really in tremendous shape. But Kermit told us last night on our radio show that what he told the team is think as if those three shots went in, and we've got two more wins, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. I want you to capture that feeling when you play Kentucky tonight. Now, that's one thing to say. Whether you can get them in that kind of mindset, we'll see. But this team's been extremely resilient. They're hungry, Tom, very, very hungry. This is a bunch of good kids with a lot of talented guys. The three guards are really good, and they want to get to the dance really really badly. So we'll see what kind of effort you get. I would think it would be a tremendous effort though, out of our guys tonight.
Saw Andy Kennedy talking about this team earlier in the conference race and just how, you know, he was happy for them, for the former coach here, and that he thought something like this was coming, and it, for, unfortunately for him, didn't happen soon enough. But what is so improved, or what are they doing better than they've done before with this team?
You know, I think it, every single player has bought into to Kermit's style. It's a little bit different style than Andy. I still think Andy Kennedy's a tremendous coach, and if he wants to get back into coaching, there's going to be an opportunity there somewhere for AK. Although I pick at him all the time, Tommy, he's so good at television. Why do you want to go recruit kids and do all that mess again when you could just be one of us?
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying.
Sleep, you know, after the game. But Andy did a tremendous job, especially with this guard group and getting them in there. So there were some really good pieces, and Kermit has made no bones about the fact that there were some really good pieces there when he got here. But every single returning player is playing better. And I don't know if you really attribute that to anything more so than just maybe the newness of a new coach. And AK may have been right. He said last year, you know, I've kind of lost this group, and maybe the freshness of a new coach made the difference. Kermit's incredible, though. Great coach. Really gets the game, and he's got them all headed in the right direction, which has been kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I enjoy seeing a guy like Coach Davis get his chance and succeed, where he's not the guy who is the young rising star. He's been in the game a long time at a school like Middle Tennessee, had a lot of success, but never had gotten his chance to take it to a higher level, and he's doing well with it.
Well, I think it's a great point, because today you see that hire that you're talking about. The one that you see is the real young coach that you think is a diamond in the rough, may be, may not be. But you see that hiring trend, and even in Ross's athletic department, he's done that in some other areas, some other sports, and it's paid dividends in some other areas too. But I think it was the right decision that he and the staff made on getting Kermit in here. Kermit is one of those guys that gets it. He's done an extremely good job. And I think if you go back to our conversation with Andy kind of set a base for this program, did some really good things. So it wasn't like you're taking over a program that was way, way, way down. And Kermit's been the first to admit that he's built upon that. And he's the perfect fit to do that. He's trying to get it to another level. And I think he'll do that. And hopefully, you know, he's young enough. You know, those of us that are knocking at that 60 door, he's young enough. He can go 10 more years, in my opinion, keep on rolling.
We're talking with David Kellum. He's the radio play-by-play voice for the Ole Miss Rebels. Teams have been really effective against P.J. Washington the last couple of games since Reed Travis has been out. And Kentucky's points in the paint have been way down. I noticed, just looking at stats, that Ole Miss, one of the better teams in the league in defending the two-point shot. They're third in the league. What do they do particularly well defensively?
I think the athleticism of the guards really plays a big part of that, and doubling down a lot helps out. We're not real strong in the post. Dominic Olenicek's had some good games throughout the year, but some other games where he's kind of struggled inside. And Bruce Stevens has really come on lately for Ole Miss. He's really a four player, but he's playing the five spot a good bit, and he's increased his rebounding here a good bit lately and improved defensively. But when you Shuler and Terrence Davis are such good athletes, and Brian Tyree as well for that matter. If you look at our steals, they're kind of balanced, and they really do have. They've committed to helping in the post, and so you'll see our guards very active defensively down low too.
What do you think is the biggest matchup concern for Coach Davis?
All of them. I mean, you know, it's one of those deals. This is such a fun Kentucky team to watch, and you know how we are. We're basketball junkies. We watch all kind of games all year, but you know, Hagans is fun. Hero's unbelievable. It's just a really fun team to watch. I think whether Kentucky can keep the three-headed guard monster that we got in check a little bit, they can really reel off some points in a hurry. They're real good in transition as well, and we'll see if that can be the case. But I would think that Terrence Davis is always one of the more important keys for us. If he's getting his rebounds and his stat line across the board is good and hitting his threes and getting his handful of steals and all. He's such an athletic, creative player on the floor that he's always a key for us. And then Brian Tyree's been maybe the most consistent player we've got, Tom. He's the New Jersey guard that has been in the top three or four in scoring in the SEC the entire year, and he just seems to get his points. And he's got a great game where he's got an intermediate game, hit the three, and penetrate to the bucket, too. I think, as it is with our team, anytime you play us, you got to figure out a way to deal with those two players.
David, thank you much. See you tonight.
All right, Tom.
This is David Kellum, and we're going to get to a break. When we come back, Larry Vaught joins the program on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. It's the Leach Report from Oxford, Mississippi, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter, at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, on location here in Oxford, where Kentucky plays tonight against the Ole Miss Rebels. Larry Vaught joins us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline from vaughtsviews.com. And we'll start with bad day down in Knoxville on Saturday. Larry, what was your take on what happened to Kentucky?
I think you just said it right there, Tom. Just a bad day. Tennessee just played much better. Kentucky had one of those days you just want to forget. The kind you hope you don't have in tournament play when you don't get a second chance, but they just didn't do very much right playing without Reed. They had to be at a level where they didn't have a whole lot of margin for error, and they left a lot of margin for error. The early foul trouble against PJ certainly did not help them, but I think as Tony Barbee said yesterday, they just didn't have anybody play very well. And when you go on the road against a team as good as Tennessee and the coach says you have anybody play very well, you're going to get beat for 20 like what they did.
Just reading your story at vaughtsviews.com, you wrote that you thought maybe Kentucky underestimated the atmosphere they were going to walk into a little bit.
It certainly seemed that way based on the way the couple players talked after the game, that they weren't quite prepared for what they were going to get. And I don't really understand how that happens, because I know it wasn't the case that the coach is telling them it's going to be easy or not to be ready to walk into that. But you would think after what happened to Tennessee at Rupp Arena, they would have to know when they went back down there what not only the Tennessee players were going to be like, what the Tennessee fans were going to be like. They had to expect it was going to be just like the atmosphere at Rupp, I would have thought. But I don't know if you want to say Kentucky played intimidated, and you might have a better idea on that than me, but they certainly looked tentative, if not intimidated.
You know, Cal said something to that effect in our post game after the game, too, that he said his first time that had happened all season. You know, I'm just now just looking back at the schedule, and the previous road game was at Missouri. They're struggling, so it wasn't really a real difficult atmosphere there. Mississippi State, I thought, was going to be, and it wasn't because they weren't full. I was surprised. Florida was good, but I've seen it better there. Vanderbilt, you know, it's not their typical atmosphere when you go into there. So you have to go really all the way back to the Auburn game on January 19th to find the last time it was something similar to what they walked into in Knoxville. So, maybe something to that. We'll get more into this when we come back. Larry Vaught's with us. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
Second half of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington. Larry Vaught's chatting with us from VaughtsViews.com. We were talking about the atmosphere down at Tennessee. I don't know that I've ever seen as small a number of Kentucky fans that got into the Tennessee game. So the Vols were very dialed in, both their players and coaches and their fans, for this matchup. Had to be a little humbling for Kentucky, and sometimes that can be a good thing for guys that are as competitive as this group is for Kentucky. I'll be surprised if they don't respond well tonight.
Yeah, and they probably need to respond pretty well tonight, Tom.
Yes, they do.
I think it'll be a difficult game tonight. Mississippi certainly, I think John used the word yesterday, would be desperate for a win, and I think their players will certainly put an all-out effort out there that Kentucky's been used to seeing at times. I don't know if the atmosphere will be quite like what it was at Tennessee. In fact, I wouldn't think that it would be. But again, you only had a couple of days to kind of get back mentally ready and emotionally ready for this game. And Kentucky just got to play with a little bit more energy, a little bit more efficiency than what it has been. I thought it was even interesting yesterday when Tony Barbie was talking about that at times he thought they'd been selfish on defense. I'm not really sure I'd heard a coach talk about being selfish on defense. Usually we hear that the selfish are talking about on offense and not passing. But when he talked about some of the things they hadn't been doing on defense, and you go back and look at how teams are turning the ball over less now than what they were during that stretch where Kentucky was so good defensively. So maybe they just need to kind of re-energize everything on both ends of the court and get going, because this is certainly a win that they need for NCAA tournament seeding, if nothing else.
You know, I would imagine coaches in any sport would say, too, that you have a loss like the one Kentucky took. It's probably easier to get the attention of your guys on any of the coaching points that you have. You know, things are going well, and they hear you, but they may not listen as well as they do when they're coming off a game like this.
Yeah, because like the Arkansas game, you didn't play very well for 22 minutes, and you come back in the last 18 minutes, wipe out a 15-point deficit. And I mean, if I'm 18, 19 years old, I probably think, well, that's okay. We got this. We kicked it in. We knew what we were doing, and it worked out okay. So I think you're exactly right. But now after you get your butt kind of kicked like what they did at Tennessee, you better pay a little bit more attention. And there's probably been a little bit more pep at John Calipari's step the last day or so, too, pointing that out to him, if I was just guessing.
No, I'd say you're right. And, you know, it's an important game, not only from a standpoint of seeding, but, you know, you bounce back and you get a win here in a tough spot. You immediately are back on course. If you don't get the win, then you come back home. There's, building pressure. Waiting for Reed to get back, and you maybe question yourself a little bit, whether you admit it or not. All those, you know, bad things start to happen. So big, you know, get this win would be big tonight for Kentucky.
Yeah, it sure would. It would keep you, I think, with at least a chance to be a number one seed, but certainly would, I wouldn't say guarantee you being a number two seed, but if you do what you think you're going to after that, then it certainly would. You lose this game tonight, and then all of a sudden there's a little bit of pressure on you in the SEC tournament to make sure that you maintain a number two seed, that you don't get knocked out early or something like that. So I agree with you. You don't want to get the negative mojo working and get the blue flu going through this state and getting the panic kind of setting in and everything like that. This is one they could certainly need to win, and if they could come back and really play the way they were a couple weeks ago, that would kind of maybe set the tone for what you want to do in postseason play.
We're talking with Larry Vaught from VaughtsViews.com, and if you go there, one of the stories you'll find is an interview that Larry did with former Wildcat Roger Hardin, who was a tremendous leader on that great 32-win team in 1986. What interesting came out of your chat with Roger?
Well, I think just the first thing that when he just talked about that when Joe Hall recruited you, and maybe he talked about this when he played, and I just don't remember where it had been a while back, but the fact that Joe Hall basically told you when you came to play point guard for him just to put your offense away, that you weren't going to be shooting that ball, that you were going to be getting it inside to the other guys. That's what he was bringing you there for, and Roger said you had to kind of accept that to come and play for him. That's what you do. But then also the fact he talked about that when he got there, there were two pretty decent point guards ahead of him, guys named Dirk Minifield and Dickie Beal. And so it wasn't like he thought he was going to come in and play. He knew when he came, he was waiting his turn. And certainly different things than what you see at Kentucky now, but it told you how much Roger Hardin wanted to come play for Kentucky, that none of that mattered to the Indiana Mr. Basketball, that coming to Kentucky is what he wanted to do, and that he was willing to do that. So I think those are the two biggest things that jumped out from my conversation with him. But like I say, well, he can still flat analyze the basketball game and tell you what's going on and the strengths and weaknesses of players and teams. He's really fun to talk with.
Yeah, I'm going to get him on the show here soon. I enjoy following him on Twitter, and got to see him back around the holidays when Oscar put together a little event for Coach Hall. So Enjoyed your story. And you can find it, if you haven't read it yet, at VaughtsViews.com with Larry Vaught. Quick thought on football. Anything you heard from Mark Stoops yesterday that was particularly interesting to you? Or what are your storylines you're most intrigued by for the spring?
I don't think that anything Mark said really jumped out at me. I think the biggest thing from Mark yesterday, as you could tell, he's just ready to practice and not talk right now. He's back in full football mode. He's ready to get out there and try to start tinkering with the guys he's got and putting this team together for next year. It wasn't that he didn't answer questions. He just didn't go into any great detail about anything. He's just back in full football mode, it looks to me like. Again, I'm kind of anxious to see if they come out of the spring feeling better about some of the receivers, that they think they've got somebody other than Lynn that's going to make a step up that can help them a lot this next season. And then also just to kind of see how the secondary shakes out. I can't ever remember a time, Tom, when they had lost so many guys in the secondary that were so good and had played so many games as a group. I mean, basically those guys had, for the last 2 years, just not taken every snap, but taken probably, 90% of them back there in that backfield and done it very, very well. So I just don't remember Kentucky ever having to quite come back and replace something like that. And to me, it seems like that's going to be a pretty daunting task. So I think to see how that secondary shapes up the time they get ready to open the season, that's what I'll be kind of watching.
Larry Vaught, thank you much.
All right, Tom.
Larry Vaught joins us on Tuesdays from VaughtsViews.com. We are heading to a break. When we come back here to Oxford, we will chat with Mark Story from the Lexington Herald. It's the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
Get busy into our discussion with Larry Vaught, and I forgot to congratulate him on something, so I'll do it now. He was just named to the 12th Region Hall of Fame for his contribution to covering high school sports in that region. So congratulations, very well-deserved honor for Larry. Mark Story joins us now from the KentuckySports.com and the Lexington Herald Leader, and several bases we want to touch with Mark here as he joins us on the Kentucky Branded Hotline. We'll start with the basketball game tonight, but first, just the one at Tennessee on Saturday. Mark, did that change anything about your outlook for Kentucky? Because you'd written a fun column about omens and those kind of things, or was this just a bad day at the office and they didn't have Reed Travis?
Well, that's a good question. I was not surprised that Tennessee won the game. I was surprised that Tennessee won the game that decisively. And I guess I think it's possible it was just kind of a one-off, a difficult situation, a veteran team at home with, a revenge motif, and in Kentucky not having, its most experienced player. The thing that did concern me a little bit, I didn't think Kentucky played very well against Arkansas, or at least they didn't play very well in the first half against Arkansas, and then you sort of, stack that with Tennessee. It was kind of a bad week, I thought, and just this time of year, that did worry me a little bit.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that you don't, if you're the coach or a fan base, you don't want to see it linger. If, teams can, you can see where Kentucky, since the Duke game, even the losses were nearly wins, and so maybe they survived the way they did against Arkansas. You get to feeling like you're 100 feet tall and invincible, and so a humbling loss can be good, or it could also expose things that you didn't want exposed. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's funny, some of that, what that loss really means to some extent is determined by what happens going forward. Mm-hmm. I did think back to the 2013-14 year when Kentucky, just got drubbed the last game of the regular season at Florida and had not played very well down the stretch, and everybody was, pretty much in despair, and, that team figured it out, basically in the SEC tournament and then have one of the incredible NCAA tournament runs in UK basketball history. So, Calipari often uses the metaphor about, landing the plane, and as long as, there's runway left, there's still time. So, we'll see.
he doesn't, you know, week to week when you get into the grind of the regular season, you don't get a lot of practice time that is not focused on preparing for the next game. He's talked about, you know, Thursdays are about the only time you get to do that. He gets that once the regular season's over and they don't play until Friday, and you get you don't know who you're going to play until Thursday evening probably. And so you get a lot of extra practice time to work on yourself, and Kentucky's always seemed to really benefit from that. So, you know, that's still ahead, but this is a huge week from the standpoint of setting yourself up the best way you can in the NCAA tournament, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And just beyond the seeding implications, and, you know, I was somewhat interested. The loss at Tennessee didn't seem to impact Kentucky in the seeding as much as maybe I would have expected. Now, obviously, you know, the seeding, we're talking about bracketologists who, you know, they're not the committee, but at least, you know, their opinion, it didn't seem to hurt Kentucky that much. But, yeah, the other thing, just this week and this game tonight, you know, you don't want last week to linger. You don't want the Tennessee thing to linger. So, you know, I think it's an important game tonight that, you know, for them to sort of get back on the beam. And you know, if they play well tonight, then I think everybody just kind of, you know, you know, last week was just a bad week. You know, it's long season. You know, sometimes teams hit a wall. But if it, you know, carries over into tonight, then I think, you know, people are going to get really concerned.
You wrote recently a column about the little guys when we were looking to selection Sundays. We talked a little bit about the tournament here. And Mike Pratt and I have talked about this just in our travels, and I think all three of us are on the same page, that I think back to a team like UNC Greensboro that Kentucky beat by 17, but it was a much closer game. It felt like a much closer game than that. Really quality team out of a league that also has Wofford and Furman in it. And, you know, it would be, a shame if a league like that with three quality teams, this is just one example, gets only one team in as opposed to, you know, the eighth or ninth team from another league. I think those make the tournament much better when you have some of those good stories. And these are teams that are not just good stories, they're deserving.
Yeah, you know, this is controversial. When I write about this, I get a lot of pushback. But to me, we've almost made this more complicated than it needs to be with all the metrics and all that. To me, what qualification for the NCAA tournament should depend on, you ought to be able to look at a team's season and just, you know, say, any reasonable, objective person, say, they had a good season. And if you can't say that about a team, I don't really care what conference you're playing in. I don't think you ought to be in the tournament. And if you look at the teams that are on the bubble this year, it's just terrible. I mean, these are, you know, teams that have, you know, just not only not had, you know, so-so years, teams that I would say have had bad years. You know, people are still talking about Indiana possibly making the tournament. I mean, come on.
If they win this week against Illinois and Rutgers, which is not a big ask, I think they're going to be in.
Yeah, I sort of do, too. And you look at, you know, give them credit for, you know, they've beaten Michigan State twice. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. But
they look better on metrics than on the eye test.
Yeah, they sure do. And they've just lost so many games. They've just lost and lost and lost. And yet somehow, you know, we've created a system where, you know, they still have a chance to get in. And teams that, you know, from these, you know, conferences down the food chain, you know, you look at the OVC, you know, Belmont and Murray State have both had tremendous years. And
both deserve.
A very good chance that one or even neither of them may be in, because the OVC is strong at the top. There's other good teams. Austin Peay is good. Jacksonville State is good. I mean, you know, I just think the system is way out of whack.
Let's talk about the Sweet 16. It gets started tomorrow for a couple of minutes. I think one of the neat stories is a school like Walton Verona, which hasn't been there, I think, since 1942. I saw in Josh Moore's notes and the Herald Leader. And they got a big kid that's going to Xavier. And they play right off the bat against Knox Central in the first game. And I am really excited, just as a basketball fan, that they've moved this up. I hope it works well for them in terms of selling tickets. And I know it works well for me, as I'll get to see more of the games than I used to.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too, because they've moved it up where I actually can go. And I love the Sweet 16. It's probably my favorite Kentucky sporting event. And, you know, I haven't really gotten to see much of it in the 21st century because it's usually in conflict with the NCAA tournament. So, you know, it was interesting in 2013, just the calendar quirk. it was real early and it was well attended. Now, was that because it was held early, or was it mostly just because of Madison Central and Montgomery County, two teams that did well in that tournament and had huge fan bases? And I guess we'll see. But, yeah, I hope it works out well for them, because I hope they'll keep doing it. That way I get to see it.
Yeah, I'm selfishly right there with you on that. I was just looking. Deontay Miles is the kid from Walton, Verona. David Johnson, a U of L recruit from Trinity, one of the top players. Michael Moreno's, I guess, the best player at Scott County. So those are a few of the individual names to watch. And I guess Scott County and Trinity, folks are thinking, on paper anyway, would make it to Saturday or to Sunday afternoon.
Well, I think most people would say they're the favorites. I think it is interesting. You know, John Harden is in the tournament, an undefeated team. There hadn't been an undefeated team make the state tournament since, I believe, Clay County back in 1989. And famously, there hasn't been an undefeated team win the Boys Sweet 16 since Brewers in 1948. So that if you know, John Harden were to win a game or two, that would become a real big story.
Quick thought on football. You wrote your most recent column about Terry Wilson. How much improvement is reasonable to expect in year two for him?
Well, I think it's reasonable to think it will be fairly substantial. I think if you look at, you know, past Kentucky quarterbacks who have succeeded, you know, they've tended to make a pretty big jump between their first and second year as a starter. Now, it probably is asking an awful lot of Terry to make the Andre Woodson jump when he went from throwing 6 touchdown passes as a sophomore to 31 as a junior. But, you know, I thought Terry took too much criticism last year. I thought he had a pretty good year for a first-time starter, and I think he has upside and will be a better player. I think the big question is, other than Lynn Bowden, do they have anybody for him to throw to?
Yeah, it's a good question. You can read about that and other subjects that Mark's written on at KentuckySports.com and in the Lexington Herald Leader. And I'll see you at RUP sometime this week. Mark, thank you.
I will be there. Thanks, Tom.
Mark Story, heading to a break. It's at Mark C. Story on Twitter as well. We'll wrap up this edition of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington, in just a moment. Segment of the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington here in Oxford, where the Wildcats take on the Ole Miss Rebels tonight. Our pregame on the UK Network will start at 7:30 Eastern Time. Donato Slice of Wildcat History. Stay in 2003. It was senior day for the Kentucky Wildcats. Keith Bogans, Gerald Fitch, Marquise Estill, Cliff Hawkins, that crew. Probably one or two more seniors that I'm missing. Kentucky crushed Vanderbilt 106-44 on senior day at Rupp Arena. That was on this day in 2003.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on The Leach Report Radio Network.